We're at the very end of the gospel. This is the after Easter section that you're probably very familiar with, where Jesus proves to his disciples that he's there. Starting at verse 35, if you're following along, Luke 24, verse 35. Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road and how they had recognized him as he was breaking bread. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. But the whole group was startled and frightened, thinking that they were seeing a ghost. "Why are you frightened?" he asked. "Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Look at my hands, look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I'm not a ghost, because ghosts do not have bodies, as you see that I do." And he spoke and he showed them his hands and his feet. Still they stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. Then he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it as they watched. Then he said, "When I was with you before, I told you that everything that was written about me in the law and of Moses and the prophets in the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said, "Yes, it is written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of these things. And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." Then Jesus led them to Bethany, and lifting his hands to heaven, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. So they worshiped him and then returned to Jerusalem, filled with great joy, and they spent all of their time in the temple praising God. Thank you, God, for these words that are at the end of Luke and for the amazing story that they tell us, that really explain why we're here this morning on Sunday morning in 2024. And thank you, God. We pray for your word to speak now in Jesus' name. Amen. I would like to continue this Easter renewal series and ask you a question. First of all, what was the most important day in history? So brainstorm with me now. If I was to ask you, what, in your opinion, were some of the most important days? Give me some important days in history. What's an important day in all of the history of the universe? Give me one. Sorry? The birth? Christmas. Christmas is an important day. The incarnation of God. Some other votes, most important day in the history of the universe. Day one, pretty important. Thank you, Dave. Otherwise, nothing would exist. So thank you, God, for day one. Arguably, most important day. Okay, give me another one. Some would say day six, because that's the day he made humans. But then that would be not humble, so. Another day in the history of the universe? The day Jesus rose. We just celebrated it last Sunday, Easter Sunday. Sounds like I'm begging the question, doesn't it? We just had it. Most important day, Easter Sunday. Jesus victorious over death. Arguably, the 2 days before that could be on that list as well, right? Good Friday. The day that Jesus conquered all of sin, arguably most important day in the universe. Any other ones you want to add to the list? Anybody want to add their own birthday to the list? Thank you, Carrie. Any other days that you'd add to this list? How about day 7 of creation? Anybody like a break? Anybody like the Sabbath? That's an important day. I've written a few down here, and I want to show you the one that Luke thinks. So according to the Gospel of Luke, I think he would say that this day that he describes in the second last or third last verse, then Jesus said to them at Bethany, and lifting his hands into heaven, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. So they worshiped him and then returned to Jerusalem, filled with great joy, and they spent all their time in the temple praising God. And Luke, if you remember, wrote two books. He wrote this book, the Gospel of Luke, and then he wrote another book called Acts. And you know, there's a cliffhanger at the end of Luke. There's a cliffhanger where Jesus is risen into heaven. And then 9 verses into Acts, it's right there as well. It's Jesus rises into heaven. I think that Luke is pointing to the ascension. We call this the ascension, Ascension Day. It's coming up on May 9th, and arguably the most important day in the universe. In fact, this was brought to my attention by my old prof, the president of Ambrose. His name is Gordon T. Smith. He's got degrees out the yin-yang. He's got books. He's got huge respect in the theological world. And his question to us in one of our classes was, what was the most important day in the history of the universe? And then he made the argument for the ascension. He said, this is the day that Jesus was resurrected for. He came to life again to be put on the throne of the universe. Everything centers on that. So, I don't know. You can debate it. We'll talk later. But we're on the run-up to the Ascension, which is May the 9th. The run-up to Easter is called what? That season's called Lent. And the season that runs up to the Ascension is called Eastertide. Everybody say Eastertide. That's the really cool way to say Easter time. You replace the M with a D, and you get Eastertide. And Eastertide, if you've never heard of it, and you should, is the 50 days between Easter and Pentecost, because 10 days after the Ascension is Pentecost. This is a time where liturgical types wear white, because it's very important. Normally they wear purple, like I am. No, I'm not. I thought I was wearing purple. Normally they're wearing purple at special times, or green if it's ordinary time. But during this unique time of Eastertide, they wear white. Because we highlight this season in the church because it's where Jesus starts by defeating death on the cross at Good Friday, resurrecting to life, giving us example of life over all things in our lives. Then he gives all these instructions to the disciples over the next 40 days about the purpose, the mission of the church. And then he ascends to the throne as a king, and then sends his spirit, giving us the biggest power the world has ever known. So our Easter renewal series is continuing now with an Eastertide renewal, focusing on the king giving us a purpose and a power. So, yay, we cried Eastertide. I tried to work it out. Say it. Yay, we cried Eastertide. That's the season. And I hope you enjoy these next 50 days. Some people have never heard of Eastertide. Maybe you hadn't either before this morning. But many haven't heard about the importance of Easter either. Many actually wonder about, in the world around us, question whether the church even matters anymore. And they ask, isn't the church history? The old buildings, the Bible being narrow, the Christian calendar, what is that? Isn't that sort of irrelevant today? The traditions are antiquated. Is the church in our world today history? And sometimes we might even agree. We go, oh, it does seem challenging. It is a lot of work. And I'm always having to explain to people what it means. More and more people don't know what this is, this religion that we pursue. So is it history? Maybe we should just all take the morning off instead. And here's the problem we've got. The problem is that Jesus isn't history. He himself is not history. Eastertide reminds us that. So that's sort of the theme of Eastertide, is that Jesus is not history. He has this funny line that he gives to the disciples. The whole group was startled and frightened, thinking that they were seeing a ghost. Why are you frightened? Ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do. They thought they were seeing a ghost. And he says, ghosts don't have bodies. Duh. Like, you should have known that, guys. Ghosts don't have bodies. You should be experts on ghosts by now. And ghosts don't have bodies. And that's sort of the point of this comedy series. Has anybody watched it called Ghosts? It's a, Trisha and I like it. It's a BBC, it's a British comedy about all these ghosts that live in an old castle. And the ghosts are a 20th century politician and a Boy Scout leader and a World War II captain and a 19th century lady and a 19th century romantic poet and an 18th century farm woman and a aristocrat's daughter and a 16th century gentleman and a caveman. Those are all the ghosts. Anybody seen it? Nobody's seen it? Okay, well, you got to go look it up. And it's hilarious because, of course, they're ghosts and nobody can see them or hear them. That's the joke, is they're doing all this stuff and nobody knows except this one human who can see them and hear them. And she can hear them. She can see them, and she wonders what they're doing, and it's all the antics. They're all trapped in their own time, and they're confused by the technology and the history. You get it. They can't do anything. They can't hear. They can't touch anything. They try, but they can't. They can't eat anything. They watch them eat, and they're so envious because they can't eat. These ghosts are history. Some think of Jesus the exact same way, that they're sort of like those guys. He's a nice guy. He was a nice guy in his day, but his ideas are antiquated. He's talking, but nobody's listening. Nobody can actually hear him. And here's the problem. Here's the problem. Our scripture today tells us that the disciples could what? They could hear him. They could touch him. He did eat. You're wondering, what was that all about? Well, that was all about Jesus proving that he wasn't just a spirit. He was a body. Ghosts don't have bodies. Let's be clear today. Let's be clear. Jesus is not just a spirit. He's not a spirit. He has a spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. But Jesus is not a spirit. He is not a ghost. He's not a wisp. He's not an idea. He's not a philosophy. He's not a good concept. He's not a sentiment. He's not even dead. He's not even dead. Although many portrayals of him in our world have him dead. And he's not. He's not dead. You know that, have you heard that phrase by Mark Twain, that famous statement? The rumors of my death are greatly exaggerated. It happened when a journalist contacted him and said, are you dead? And then he wrote an article back in 1897. He wrote, "I have even heard on good authority that I was dead. The report of my illness grew out of my cousin's illness. The report of my death was an exaggeration. The rumors of Jesus' death are greatly exaggerated." Yeah, he did die. He's not dead now. That's the point. Jesus has a body right now in heaven. It's a new kind of body, admittedly. If you want some homework, go to 1 Corinthians 15. It'll tell you about that body. Did you know that you yourself are going to have that kind of body someday? Just like that? When we die? Listen, when we die, we don't become angels. Sorry to break it to you. Nobody gets to transform what kind of creature they are. You don't suddenly become a different creature. Nobody becomes an angel. Nobody becomes a disembodied spirit, at least for long. You, the scriptures say, will have a body. It's a new kind of body, that's admittedly, but it exists. It's real. It's in this universe. In this universe right now, the body of Jesus exists and ours will too. Wow. You're asking, well, what's he doing? Here's what he's doing. He's sitting on his throne and he's the king of the universe. He's ruling over his kingdom. He's directing his church. He's giving us meaning. He's telling the universe what it's here for. He's telling us what we are here for. He's telling us what we're supposed to be doing. And he's communicating and sending us his spirit to empower it all, to make it happen. He's on the job. And so Eastertide, we cried, is to remind us of that purpose that he's giving us and the power that he's sending us. Jesus is on the throne directing his mission, giving his spirit to empower and build his church. His church. Did you know that we too are his body? Two different concepts there. He has a body and we are his body and we are at work. So to recap, Easter, after Easter, Luke gives us a cliffhanger right at the end of the gospel, and that's sort of the indication that it's important because he repeats it at the beginning of Acts as well. And he ends with this cliffhanger where Jesus is taken up into heaven. And when the disciples finally get this, you know, the reason why they're so puzzled is this was a hard one for them. But then they grasp it and they go, wait a minute, there's a resurrection. We actually never stop. You never stop. We are eternal. This isn't history, this story we're talking about. This story has just begun, by any measurement. It's just begun. And he tells them, okay, yes, Easter was real. Good Friday was real. He says, here's why they were important. He said, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. This is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. And that's why you might have argued when I asked, which is the most important day, you would say Good Friday or Easter. You're absolutely right. Because that's when we got this ultimate defeat of sin and trouble. That's the good news. But what's next? He says there's two more equally important things coming. He's the key, and these are the key verses 47 and 49. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations. Number one, there's a mission. This message would be proclaimed. That's the next thing to happen, he says. And now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power. The Spirit. Two more really important days coming. The day that he gets given all the authority. In Matthew, all authority was given him to then Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son. It starts with Jesus' authority on Ascension Day. And so that's why that could be the argument that Ascension Day is the most important day. After Jesus reminds us that we have a purpose and that the purpose is for the King. And the King is on his throne. Jesus rose into heaven. Ascension Day tells us he's still the King. He's still directing the purpose. And the power is Pentecost. 50 days from now, the end of Eastertide. And on Pentecost, we remember that the Holy Spirit now powers this and continues with us. So after Easter wasn't the end. We didn't just fall off a cliff and now there's nothing left. The church now just gets going on the mission, and Jesus tells them Pentecost, Ascension and Pentecost, purpose and power. He points out these are all in the Old Testament. So first of all, Easter, of course, is in the Old Testament. Lots of examples of Good Friday and Easter. Psalm 16:10, for you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. It was prophesied long before Good Friday and Easter, many scriptures. But did you know that the ascension is too? So if we look for it, we'll see it. That God told us, Psalm 110:1, the Lord said to the Lord, sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet. God told us that he was going to put the Messiah at his right hand. The purpose being, Isaiah 49:6, Jesus, you will do more than restore the people of Israel. I will make you a light to the Gentiles, and you will bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. So this purpose of his authority was promised, that the Messiah would be at the God's right hand, would direct this mission to take it to the ends of the earth. And we're getting there. The gospel's getting to the ends of the earth. You might make an argument that the next most important day is coming. Nobody said judgment. That's going to be a pretty significant day as well in the history of the world. Did you know that the Pentecost is also in the scriptures? In Joel 2, of course, Peter quoted it. Then after doing all those things, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And many other passages about the promise of the Spirit. And then, of course, it happened in Acts 2:42, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and in all the languages to power the mission to go out to the ends of the earth. So my point is that this was all prophesied. Good Friday, Easter, Ascension, Pentecost, Eastertide. This season that we celebrate with some of the most important days in the history of the universe. We're all in the plan right from the very beginning of creation. So, in other words, Easter isn't the end. We didn't finish last weekend. Okay, now we're done. Now we're into ordinary time. I don't even like that phrase, ordinary time. We're into incredible, important time. It's the beginning of purpose and power, and that should grab us. Gordon Smith, my prof again, this is all coming from that one lecture where you rocked my world. And I remember the points. I don't remember many of my classes, but he said, Good Friday and Easter is just the setup for the Ascension Pentecost counterpoint of the cosmos. Counterpoint of the cosmos. I wrote that in my notes. I gotta use that in a sermon. I just did. The counterpoint of the cosmos, Ascension and Pentecost. What is the most important day? He says Ascension, it's the climax, the critical day upon which everything else pivots, because from there, Jesus becomes King and everything else happens. He sends his Spirit and he then comes again to judge the world and he perfects all things. The Pentecost is equally important, though, because it's distinct from the Ascension, but it gives meaning to the other one. Because with the Pentecost, with the Spirit, we are Spirit Christians. With the Ascension, we are Christocentric. We are Christ Christians. With the Pentecost, we are Holy Spirit Christians. With Good Friday and Easter, we're realizing the promise of the Father. We are Father, Son, and Holy Spirit Christians. This is why we are Trinitarian. And so if that's enough theology for you, I'll move on to my next point, which is that the church with its table, word, and worship is the conduit of renewal for our purpose and power. And before I left this scripture, I had to point out to you the three elements that are in this climactic story. Jesus, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it as they watched. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, so they worshiped him, and they spent all of their time in the temple praising God. You see the three things that Jesus models for us there? This is not random. This is not a throwaway. Three things at Easter time, at Easter tide: table, word, worship. Table, word, worship. Say it. Table, word, worship. These are critical, important things that God did. They disbelieved. The disciples disbelieved. So what did he do? Table, word, worship. He gave them a meal. He put the table in front of them and said, "Eat. Here's, do you have any fish? I will eat." He shared the word with them, opened their minds. Then they shared a song. This is what he did in the previous story. If you remember the road to Emmaus story, what did he do? When did the disciples realize it was Jesus? When they ate the bread after he had opened their minds to the scriptures. At the Last Supper, tell me, what happened at the Last Supper? Maybe they ate. And that's where we started this practice of communion that we practiced last week. We will practice again next week. The church does this as a remembrance because Jesus gave them table, word, and worship. At the Last Supper, he then gave them his word, and then it says they went out and sang a hymn. Do you notice what we always have in our church? And do you notice what you walk into any church in the world, and I dare you to find the three examples. You will find an altar. You will find a table, and often with communion on it, you will find a pulpit somewhere in that building, and that represents the word. You will find an instrument, an organ. You will find a worship band. These are three pieces of the Christian church that exist everywhere because of table, word, and worship being the way Jesus reminds us of his ascension, that he is on the throne sending his power of Pentecost to us. And every Sunday, we act out this cliffhanger. Did you know that? Every Sunday, we're acting out the cliffhanger with table, word, and worship. Are you a witness of this? This is the way he ends. He says, "You are witnesses of all these things." And Luke punches this home too, because he begins it, he says it again in Acts. He says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Are you a witness? That is the key application of Eastertide. If you come away from this sermon, you go, "Well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do." Here's what you're supposed to do. Be a witness. Are you a witness? What does that mean? Well, it means, are you acting like you know Jesus is there above you? Picture it. He's there, really. Do you remember that he's there? Are you acting and praying like the Holy Spirit is in you, coming from his throne? Or are you acting like the church's history? Are you giving in and to the world around us and just saying, "Oh, well, church, merch, whatever"? My purpose today was to remind us the presence and power of the risen Lord is here. Easter was just the beginning. Eastertide is the remembrance. It just keeps going until he comes again. Here is a picture of last Sunday morning, Easter sunrise service. And I love Easter sunrise service. And Center Street had a gathering just before us, And so there's a whole bunch of people coming out. And as I was walking past them, he is risen. He is risen indeed. Everybody's happy and smiling. And look, it's a little taste of heaven. Everybody really being nice to each other. And a few of the people came over and joined us. And one woman in particular volunteered to read one of the scriptures. And she read the scripture and she sang alongside us. And we got to meet her afterwards. She's from Ranchlands. And she told me afterwards, she was so thrilled we were there. She was planning to go to the other service, but she got the time wrong. And she then saw the cross, and she was so thrilled to see us and that she could join in. And as she participated, she said that she was just overcome by the witness of our church. She told me it's been so hard for her. And then she started crying. It's been so hard for her in these last couple years. And then she came that morning and she thought she had missed it, but she hadn't, because Jesus was still there. And she saw the cross and she saw us and she joined us and she had hope again. And I invited her to our church and she said she would join us some Sunday. And I just wanted to pass that on to you. Bravo, church. That's just a little picture of what we should be doing and we are doing every single day. As we're saying, he's still there. The cross is still there. It's still empty. He's still on his throne. He's still alive. He isn't history. And therefore, the church is not history. And the world needs to hear again about the ascended King, the powerful Spirit. May that be our everyday. Christ ascended, Spirit-powered, gospel-driven. The Easter season has two more big days, Ascension and Pentecost, and we're in the middle of that season. And so I declare this day Eastertide renewal, that we have a King and a purpose, because Jesus is not a ghost. He's a King, and he's on his throne. His Spirit is empowering a church, and that makes the most important day in the universe today. And every Sunday, when we gather like this together, brothers and sisters, because he's on the throne and his Spirit is in us, this is the most important day. The church with its table and its word and its worship, do you feel it? Do you remember? Some think the church is history, but I say we've just begun. Lord, we bow our heads and acknowledge that you are there, that Jesus, your body is alive and well in heaven and on earth. In heaven, in that amazing new body, here on earth in this amazing church. And we will tell the nations of the most important thing, that's things that have happened in history. We are witnesses of this. Jesus, you will reign forevermore. Amen.